It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 713. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com or use the promo code miketechshow for your free 15-day trial, and you can go directly to instanthousecall.com to get your trial and test it out. We'll be talking about Instant House Call during the show because some of my stories, that's how I remote in and do all my work. So tonight's show, we're going to talk about the big move, that emergency move for a client. And it involves Amazon and Staples. And I'm going to talk about what happened to me on Friday right after the show last week, and why it took so long to get the show posted up was because of all the hours I was putting in over the weekend for work. And I was just dead. And then Saturday, there was a couple surprises that made things go well, a couple surprises that caused some issues. And then all day Monday, I was on site there. We're going to talk about that story. We are going to also talk about a weird check printing problem that I got to describe what the solution was. And then I have a follow-up to my big question last week, and the answers came flooding in. Seems like everybody knew the answer but me. That's why I love this show, because I can't know everything. And when I share something with a question, you all respond, and it's just so great. I have a couple other emails that I'm going to get to, and then we're going to some more links. So lots of help tonight. So let's talk about the big move where my client calls me the previous Monday, not last Monday, the Monday before, and tells me they got to move on Saturday. And I talked about this on the last show. Friday, I was supposed to receive from Amazon all the cables, 100-foot cables, like 1,400-foot cables, 50-foot cables. I was going to run temporary network through everything. I talked about the coat hangers, but I thought about that, and I ended up getting some tie wraps that I didn't even need. So we're going to talk about Saturday. So early Friday morning, I get up, and if I get up and have to go to the bathroom or something, I always check my phone. And I am so glad I did, because the package was really supposed to be delivered Thursday. And Friday, I get an email from Amazon saying, we're going to refund you your whole order. It has been returned to the sender because the package was damaged, so it will not be delivered. You know, this is one of the few packages that, it being damaged and only being network cables, they would have survived, most likely, and I would have been okay. Now I'm in a position where I got to run around stores to get 100-foot cables. That was not fun. I had to hit multiple Staples. Now, luckily, I found one guy who worked at Staples where I bought all their 150-foot that they had, and there was another store not that far away. I was able to get them ordered, and they were able to put them together, and I was able to pick it up. And then I hit a Lowe's to get a couple more, and then some couplers just in case I needed to couple them together. Saturday, I'm picking up my son Ryan, who's going to help me with this move, and I get a call from my client explaining that when they really started moving in Saturday morning and looking at the suite, they have a guy that is hooking up two TVs for presentations, And this guy is a cable guy. And he started walking around and said, you got Cat 5 running everywhere, and it goes back to a central IT area in the suite. He says, so Mike, we're probably not going to need all the cables. Just wanted to give you a heads up. I'm actually glad the guy was there because he helped me. We did have to use 400-foot cables to get drops where there were no drops. So it did help that I had some of those 100-foot cables. But we certainly didn't need anywhere near what I bought. I was able to return them to Staples. They gave me a full refund for the unused cables. And now we had everything working, just waiting on Verizon to come and light up the fiber for the install. You can't make this story up that I'm going to describe. The Verizon tech gets there, and we are suite 519B. He has the order for 519, and there is an existing 519. Now, I think if there wasn't a 519, he would have installed the ONT and did the line. He could not do a thing in the suite that we were in. Now, they're voice over IP. They need the internet. Obviously, today in a business, you have to have it. The main guy from the property management company for that building, because there's a lot of offices in this building, he was there. The Verizon guy called everywhere, tried. The problem, there was no engineering that works on the weekend, and the business office for Verizon is not available. There was no one who could change his work order to allow him to install in 519B. I've been down this road with Comcast, and my son, who used to work for Comcast, knows, as silly as it sounds, I do get it. And I understand they can't install something where there's no work order for that location, and that hasn't been properly provisioned through whatever their back end is. I understand they would have to go through calling, getting it reordered, and hopefully somebody would come by Monday. Now, here's what I was able to do. They have a Synology for shared files for their network. I put a static IP address on one of the computers and then was able to log in to the Synology, put a static IP, and then enabled the DHCP server. So at least printers could come up, all the systems could come up, and we tested access to their main application that they use for managing projects and QuickBooks, a lot of people need access to. We were able to successfully get printing, get everything but their phones and email. So here's what we were doing for an emergency. Three of the systems have Wi-Fi adapters. And this, I guess, is a reason, even if you have a desktop, to have a Wi-Fi adapter. As a matter of fact, my new build, which I'm going to have to put a link. Carrie Holzman did a video on Tuesday of my new build that he's doing for me. And I haven't seen the whole video. I've just seen bits and pieces, but I'm so grateful. And after the incident on Saturday, I'm now glad that there's Wi-Fi, because what if my internet's down? I can tether my iPhone to a hotspot and at least get out to the internet. And that's what we did with three of the systems. So this is a really large company. So their three key employees had Wi-Fi. And if they didn't, we can always buy a USB Wi-Fi adapter. So they were able to get by Monday morning. Here's the big thing. Verizon couldn't come out until Tuesday. They got everything straightened out, although we thought. But I literally was on site for 5 hours on Tuesday, waiting for Verizon, taking care of a few other things. And the first tech that came had the wrong order. But he said, don't worry, because we knew there was the possibility of a second order that was correct. And right on his tail, there was another tech with the proper order. And the two of them quickly got us up and running. Once they got there and got it working, then we were good. And before I plugged in the Verizon router into their network, I logged into the Synology, turned off the DHCP server, then just went and edited the DHCP of the new Verizon router just to make sure everything was fine. Plugged it into the network. We tested phones. We tested everything. They had a little punch list of some other things that were some annoyances that I was able to take care of. But 5 hours later, everything's good. Happy, happy. But had to share that. That was my, Monday I was running around crazy. So, and back and forth with the client as they were working with Verizon. So that was Saturday. Monday, Tuesday, Monday night, I was able to sneak in getting show 7-11 or excuse me, 7-12. And I got that edited and posted up Monday night. This has been nonstop. Today, all morning, a client where all of a sudden they have a website with Wix. It's not pointing correctly. And we didn't change anything. I know Wix told them to. Gave me some instructions and changed the name servers for GoDaddy where we had it pointing correctly. I did it and I said, your email is going to go down anyway. I got to fix MX Records tonight because of instructions that Wix gave the client. So I'm going to fix that after the show tonight. Tomorrow we have a big phone rollout to a client that today I was on site having them record the proper greetings and then making sure simultaneous ring was all set up. We have the physical phones configured and ready to roll because that was my Sunday, by the way. We had the whole table lined up with phones here as my son and I were programming them and getting them all configured and tested. And then, of course, one of the phones didn't, but luckily the phone company that we're dealing with sent me out and overnighted a new phone. I was able, and that activated perfectly. So tomorrow we're ready to do the cutover. And now I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that all the porting was done correctly and that the numbers are going to port. And then we're going to swap out the phones. We already have a different PoE switch because we learned today the client thought that they owned the phones and that they owned the switch. And lo and behold, they don't. There is a monthly lease payment that they have to make on all of these devices. So I had a temporary PoE switch, which now it's not going to be temporary. It's going to be the final switch. And luckily, the phone carrier shipped me all phones for them. And we got them configured, like I said, on Sunday. So I'm glad now we're really swapping them out because they got to return those other phones. I have everything set up. I just need the porting. And then we got to teach them how to do now e-fax, faxing through the web. I don't want them to have the traditional analog fax anymore. So let's hope the numbers port. If the numbers port, we're in good shape. So you'll learn that next week on the next show. Wednesday, I'm on site every Wednesday for my biggest client, which is a manufacturer. And this Wednesday, we've had for the last few weeks, and I've been researching this, they have an HP color laser jet that only when she prints checks, it goes into a cleaning cycle in the middle of the check printing. Even if she does a cleaning twice before she does the checks, it will still go into a cleaning cycle. It will screw up the check numbering. It'll skip a check. It messes check printing. And it's pretty consistent like 90% of the time. And it's been, driving us crazy the last few weeks because Wednesday's when they go to print checks. Online, believe it or not, some of the forums, the final result was you can't turn off automatic cleaning. And there's just no way to disable it. And I can't believe the answer was by Canon, not HP. And I'm not kidding. That was a couple of the recommendations going back. So clearly a lot of people have this issue. But I noticed something. I asked her when she goes to print, what if she uses the regular tray. But the checks, she has the manual front load. And I'm like, really? And by the way, Nick in the chat said you can delay it, but that's about it. I didn't even see where you can delay it, and that's something I'll look at. But I think I cracked the problem. It's cleaning when she front loads. But if she puts the checks in the tray and just lets it go through, it didn't do a cleaning this Wednesday. So keeping my fingers crossed that next week I will learn when she prints and we'll try that again. But now that Nick said you can delay it, I'm going to make sure that there is a delay that we can activate. Nick, if you email me, miketechshow@gmail.com, how to delay it, if you know, within the HP, because I didn't see that option, but I wasn't looking for delay. I was really looking to try to disable cleaning, but that's pretty cool. Somewhere in the supplies menu, I will hunt that down and find it. So thank you. That's why I love the chat. We're going to talk about that too in a couple minutes, where I had a big question last week, threw it out there, and someone in the chat got me on the path to the solution. And then after I posted the show Monday night, I'd already solved the problem on Friday. I got several emails with exactly what I found, but it was led by someone in the chat. And we'll go there in a minute. Well, you know what? Let's go there right now. Last week, I described an annoying problem where my client, all of a sudden, anytime that this one person changes the background, it changes for everybody. Couple things I noticed, but I don't know why I wasn't thinking sync. And it was Jack in the chat, who, by the way, sent me an email. 25 years in tech here, development, admin, and networking. I enjoy troubleshooting and therefore love your stories from the trenches. Thank you, Jack. And it was Jack who put me on by saying, is there some kind of sync with Dropbox going on or something within Microsoft? And when he said that, that's it. I went down the path. How do you sync in Microsoft? And that's exactly what the problem was. So we're going to have great links on how to stop syncing of these settings. So first email's from Kevin. Hey, Mike, do these users happen to be sharing a Microsoft account that they are logged into on their respective PCs? Well, yes, they are. If so, check this setting. On your Windows 10 PC, go to Start button, then click Settings, Accounts, Sync your settings, and turn off the theme sync. That is awesome. And that was it. Thank you. And this is from Shannon. And Shannon sends me a link that I'm going to share. And it's the same link that Kate, for all your clients whose Windows desktop backgrounds all change, try this. You have to do this on all the computers. And I did. Kate sent me a diagram and circling what to check. Kate, that's awesome. Thank you so much. But yes, we have to set up separate accounts for the Office. They were all set up going to the same person. And so the settings were to sync and certainly the theme sync. So anytime this one person made the change, that's it. It synced everybody. So thank you all for coming through. Thank you, Jack, for putting me on the right path. And it's why I love doing this show. I get great solutions from all of you and really, really appreciate it. So we have two emails here and I didn't even get a chance to really pre-read this. So we're doing this, you know, cold. This is from Kevin. I use FABs to backup restore user data when I'm rolling out new computers to our users. It is very useful. I was curious what your experience has been when it comes to their Google profile. Oh, it takes forever. He continues, it takes forever to do the Chrome portion of the process. I see that it's lots of small files, typically under 500 meg total profile, but that can take 30 minutes or more. Do you do anything different? Maybe there's a way to streamline the Chrome profile, perhaps clear the Chrome cache prior. Thanks, Kevin. And he's from Mechanicsburg, PA. So he's not that far away. Kevin, I just suck it up and wait like you do. And I know there's going to be users out there. What do you do when you're using Fabs? It just takes forever to migrate a Chrome profile. And you're right. Maybe we should uncheck Chrome. And is there a better utility to handle migrating the Chrome profile and either backing up, restoring, or transferring a Chrome profile? Is there a way to clear the cache properly? Because we want to make sure we get everything transferred. And we've been living the little Chrome nightmare in Fabs as you. And, you know, the creator of Fabs listens to this show. So Fabrice, is there something we can do to speed up, or maybe an option that you can put in there to uncheck, to clear cache first? Or is there something that you can help us with that? Because it does take a long time. Kevin, great question. And I'm either going to guide or force something happening within Fabs, or we're going to find another utility that can help us. And then we just uncheck and not move it via Fabs. We'll move it via something else. This is from Jim. Endpoint question. I have been listening for a few years. I support both you and Carrie. I have been using Fabs for a while, thanks to your recommendation. I really like it. A few years ago, I used to spend so much extra time backing up files. Restoring Fabs saves me so much time and allows me to focus on other work. My main business has been break-fix, desktops, laptops, and tablets. After hearing you talk about contracts and moving away from break fix, I pulled up a package I bought from TechNibble several years ago, took one of the contracts, edited it, and used it to quote, and I have just added a contract customer. Hey, congratulations. That's awesome. This is a small factory with about 10 workstations and 2 servers and a lot of work ahead. I have a question. I use Malwarebytes TechBench, thanks again for the recommendation, and use the premium edition on the computers I work on. Do you now or have you used endpoint software? I have not, and I'm going to explain. And this is where Mike and Alex, I'm going to ask you to stop listening right now on this point. And now they, of course, won't. They'll have to listen to the rest. He continues, I noticed that Malwarebytes has endpoint. If you do so, at what point do you decide to go the route? Is it the number of users? And to me, it is the number of users. Are there any other considerations? Thank you for the show and keep up the good work. Before we go into the rest of his email, let me address this. The Malwarebytes premium, I use it all. The endpoint that they have, or what they have now, a single pane. It's one view. It gives you a single pane to manage all the keys, and that's the way to go. If you have a ton of keys to manage at one location or even several locations, I know it's great for that. It costs a lot more. I have my clients used to paying a certain price where I make a profit, but that doesn't break the bank. You already go in with an entry point that costs you a lot more for the endpoint. So can your customers handle it? Mine are too small and too small businesses. So how am I handling this? Now, this is not finished yet, but there are great scripts in the community. And one of them by Alex Smith, the lead tech from Malwarebytes, to be used with the Synchro RMM and PSA. I am a Synchro user for my clients, and you can easily deploy Malwarebytes, put the key in, have it enter that key into a custom field, and put the install date. So there's a couple tweaks that need to happen with the scripts that I have some ideas. So I'm not there yet, but I think I can manage the Malwarebytes premium, manage the ability to be notified early in the process when the renewal is going to come so I don't miss on that renewal money, and then be able to have it tracked per asset, per client within Synchro. I'm actively working on this, and if I nail that, I may never need endpoint. So that is not the Malwarebytes answer. And they would give you 10 other reasons why you should go to the endpoint. So I'm giving it to you from the trenches. For me, my clients aren't big enough to do that. And I'm willing to manage them on a manual basis or kind of partially manage it with what I'm doing within Synchro. So I don't know if that helps you, but it's really the numbers. And if you only have 10, I don't know if you want to go endpoint unless you get the quote, you get the price, but there is a monthly minimum buy-in for one view. And I'm just not there yet on that. He continues, something extra. Again, I really like the show, especially the stories from the trenches. I am located in a small town about 45 minutes from Dallas-Fort Worth. I get some of the strangest requests for items not really related to desktops or laptops. I have replaced screens for GPS devices, replaced pot switches for pro sound amplifiers. I have gone on site to troubleshoot ATMs. I have done all kinds of work on POS systems at retail stores. I have a few interesting stories about that. Right now, I have a customer who owns several 18-wheelers and also has a repair shop for diesel trucks. I have been working on a laptop he brought in, replacing the laptop DC jack, upgrading to 10 Pro, and adding a new battery so I could finish with BIOS updates. He stopped by, I thought, to pick up the laptop and asked if I could solder some parts on a circuit board out of an 18-wheeler's dashboard he was repairing. It was very easy work. I do turn down many requests like that, but sometimes I like the challenge to work on something new. Kevin, or this is Jim. Jim, that is awesome that you have the ability to do that. Let me tell you, if you ever see me with a soldering gun in my hand, run. Run for your life, because only bad things will happen. I cannot do that. I don't have the patience that's required to work on laptops and open them up. I wish I had the abilities of Steve Cherubino to be able to do that. I just can't. And my value in what I do with clients, it's the design. It's the consulting aspect of the business, the processes, helping automate through different software or different things within the business. So I helped roll out an ERP system for my biggest client, and it's a manufacturer, and it's a lot of fun. I get involved in some pretty high-end engineering workstations that need to be rolled out. Right now, we are consumed with Windows 10 upgrades, and I have us booked not only through the end of the year, but into January, we're starting to book up every day. And there's no time to rest right now. And I'm not complaining. Now, maybe I am a little bit, but I need to get sleep somehow. We are working our butts off because we know it's our time. This is the time that we are needed in the industry to help get everybody upgraded to Windows 10, because they're coming to us at the last minute. We're getting referrals from people. Here you go. If anybody has any cybersecurity insurance policy, if they don't update to Windows 10 after January 14th and they get hit with some kind of a cyber attack, the insurance company's going to deny the claim because they don't have Windows 10. If you take credit cards, you are not PCI compliant. If you're in the financial industry, you're not FINRA compliant. If you're in the medical field or work with anybody in the medical field, like an attorney maybe that deals with cases with medical, guess what? If you're not Windows 10, you are not HIPAA compliant. There are so many things, and you don't want to be doom and gloom and scare people, but these are facts that are undeniable, that you have to communicate and do your job. And I've done the best I can with all my current clients, and we're stacking up the ones that waited at the last minute. Tonight, before the show, a client contacted me, and he only had two systems left, and he just bought two HP mini computers from me that I have three in stock. Now two of them are gone, and I'm waiting on a doctor's office that we've already booked his upgrade January 8th, but he hasn't pulled the trigger on what I got to order. And if he waits too long, I'm not going to be able to get the hardware in. And I'm still waiting to finish one client that has a few more systems. And again, I'm waiting for them to pull the trigger to tell me what I'm going to be ordering. And then we got to book that date. Glad to have this problem. It's a curse and a blessing. The blessing, yes, we're making money and we've got a ton of billable hours. The curse, I don't have time for everyone. And I got to make time for my existing retainer clients that already are Windows 10 Pro and Windows 10. And we have to be able to service them and take care of them while we're scheduling all this other new work, because a lot of it is bringing opportunities to us for potential clients that we're going to turn into retainer clients. You know, get them onboarded as our, you know, as we become more of an MSP, and get them on board with our Synchro RMM. So I'm looking forward to a lot of this that we're still doing, and we're working, yeah, working night and day. But glad to share all these stories and everything, and hopefully it's giving you ideas for your business or your place of work where you work, hopefully opening up some ideas here. That is it. The best way to support the show is to use our Amazon link. Carrie Holzman and I share a link. It's in the show notes at miketechshow.com. Click on supporting us with this Amazon link. Click on the link. It brings you right back to Amazon, but anything you now add to the cart, we get a commission. It's a small percentage. Your price stays the same, but it helps us. Look, it's helping me get my new system. It's helping Carrie with the cameras. It really helps us. This is the best way to support us, especially now with the holidays. Abuse that link. Buy your gift cards. Get everything you can. You know you buy a ton from Amazon. Why not use our link? And we really appreciate it. Fab's Auto Backup. Look, we've had two questions involving Fab's tonight and ideas. Fab's Auto Backup, this is the definitive software for migrating anybody from one system to another. That's it. Period. The end. That's it. And if you want remote access and you want to take care of your clients unattended, it's instant house call. I have two clients tonight. I'm going to be logging in, taking care of work before I go to bed. Couldn't live without these utilities and this software. That's it for tonight. Hope to see you back here next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.